Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast. I'm Ian Welsh. I'm with Patrick Houdray, Head of Sales, Agriculture and Forest Solutions with Airbus, and with Rob McWilliam, Director of Technical Services, Earthworm Foundation. Welcome to you both. We're going to be talking a bit about the Starling system, which is a collaboration between Airbus and Earthworm. Why don't you start us off, Patrick? Give us a bit of background as to what the Starling system is, who is involved, and who it's for.
Starling is really a solution we want to offer to businesses to take appropriate actions against deforestation and the operations from the supply chain and to verify the impact they can get out of these decisions. Starling is a global platform providing users with maps and analytics, analytics that help turning those maps into decision making. To be able to monitor forest cover change, the first step on our side is to produce what we call a base map. That is featuring the essential land use classes that matter for the users. A key challenge is, of course, is to discriminate what is natural forest against planted forest, replantations, in order to make sure that monitoring is going to really look at what are the true forest cover changes. As forest ecosystems are by nature diverse, as well as factors driving deforestation, we have seen that in many, many projects. Starling leverages a wide range of satellite images and tools to develop the fit-for-purpose solutions. We don't believe there is a one-fits-all solution, so we have a range of capabilities we are using on purpose. Technically speaking, we have developed a processing chain capable to map out and monitor forest cover change globally, from now on, of course, as well as over the last 20 years, because a lot of indicators on what has to be done on the ground relates to what has been the situation in the past. When we say forest cover change, it goes beyond deforestation, as it also addresses forest degradation, forest conversion, and forest restoration. Maybe we'll be able to elaborate a bit more next to the type of use cases and companies we are working with who are interested by this type of forest cover change. And of course, Starling caters for both conservation and productive forest.
Great. Rob, who's involved?
We started off very small at Starling. Back in 2016, we worked with a few companies, namely Nestle and Ferrero in the palm oil supply chain in Indonesia and Malaysia. And through this work, it was kind of learning by doing. We were mapping out fairly small units of land, sort of a million hectares at a time, and really refining our technical processes to identify land cover and deforestation, and then enhance that data coming through with analytics to enable companies to take action with their suppliers. As we've moved along, we've grown significantly in terms of coverage. As Patrick mentioned, we are now providing a mapping and monitoring service across entire supply chains. So in palm, that means we're mapping areas from Guatemala to Peru over to Central West Africa, and of course, all across Southeast Asia and parts of Oceania. That and then enables a range of users to use Starling, from private sector users like the continuation with Nestle, or is increasingly allowed governments in various countries to apply Starling to land use planning processes that are being used at district levels in Indonesia, or to monitoring forest reserves in Ivory Coast with the organization or the agency SODIFOR in Cote d'Ivoire.
Well, let's come back to talk about SODIFOR in a bit. Patrick, what are the images that are available from the satellite? Is it a visual spectrum or is it beyond that?
We are mainly using two types of data, optical imagery and radar imagery. Both are very complementary and provide what we need. We are also using a range of different resolutions. Most of the country we are, mapping out, we are delivering a result with. We are leveraging free data, Sentinel data. But for some specific cases, and something, once again, we will elaborate first through different use cases, we're also using high resolution data. For some specific issues, we really need to get closer from the canopy to see what is happening, to observe what's happening under the canopy, to also appreciate the regrowth of the forest and how much the forest canopy is affected by some human activities. Case by case, the requirements of the end user may call for higher resolutions than what is available with the free data. And then we liberate the Airbus constellations, having the capacity to deliver optical imagery to 50 or 1.5 meter resolutions. In some cases, we're also using the 3 meter resolutions delivered by the radar constellation we operate. So we are using, once again, we are using a range of solutions, a range of capabilities to be able to cater for the specific requirements we see coming from our customers.
Let's talk about what you're doing specifically in Côte d'Ivoire then. I know you're working with the Sorifor organization. So what are you doing in Côte d'Ivoire, Patrick? How has this developed and who are you working with there?
We are working with Sorifor. Sorifor is a forest development agency in Côte d'Ivoire. They are responsible for managing the so-called forecracy or forest reserves. It represents more or less 4 million hectares in Côte d'Ivoire. Our work with Sorifor has started on the Cavalli Forest, which is one of the best preserved forecracy. It's a forest on the western part of Côte d'Ivoire, nearby the boundary with Liberia. Just to give you some, let's say, contextual information, Cavalli Forest covers an area of approximately 6,000-7,000 hectares. This forest has been under significant threat, especially from illegal encroachment coming from gold mining and cocoa cultivation. Sorifor is struggling to monitor and to activate the Sorifor agents to stop illegal activities and maintain the forest. And we started to work together in 2018 because they really want to use a mapping and monitoring tool with two key requirements. And requirements call for solutions that was not available on the market. The first requirement was to update the forest map to assess the level of degradation. So we're not discussing about deforestation and forest cover. It's really degradation to have a fairly good estimate on the magnitude of cocoa encroachment in the Cavalli Forest, which is quite tricky to observe from space. And then moving forward, they really wanted to a system capable to early detect the legal activities most occurring under the canopy, because people are using the shade provided by the trees to start planting the cocoa. So they start to clean understory forest, and step by step, they clear the rest of the forest. When we can see evidence of forest clearing, it's generally too late for Sorifor to intervene, because there is a net cover forest cover loss. There are also social issues. Families are there, and it's much more complicated to recover from this situation. So they really wanted to use a system providing the two services, update and clear update, what is the situation, current situation of Cavalli Forest, and a monitoring tool able to early detect the precursor sign of future deforestation. It is what we have done. We have started with a pilot project with a lot of fieldwork that has been led by Osram. And it was really important to have this fieldwork, not only to validate what we can do with satellite imagery, but also to working together with Sorifor to appreciate the dynamics. What does it mean to observe the development of illegal cocoa plantations under the forest? How it looks like? And how we can figure out using satellite imagery what is the solution.
How close to real-time monitoring then can you achieve for your customers?
That's a very good question, because we see a lot of communication about the systems delivering a very frequent monitoring alerts and so on. Here what matters is, the quality of the alerts, really to pinpoint the area where there is evidence of illegal activities. For operational reasons, and after discussion with Sorifor, we agreed to deliver a quarterly monitoring report. We can do, on a more frequent basis, but because of the, Sorifor organization, the way they intervene on the ground, and the time needed by the agent to take actions, quarterly monitoring has been agreed as a good period of time for them. Even if today we are trying to work out a calendar that is maybe related to the climatology and to the seasons that are more prone to development of illegal activities. So it's something we are flexible. So far we are delivering quarterly monitoring report to Sorifor. Moving forward, we are discussing on how maybe to increase the frequency over the seasons that the legal activities are likely to happen, and maybe to be more relaxed over the rest of the year.
Rob, turning for you, from your perspective at Earthworm, how has Starling been really a game changer in Côte d'Ivoire and helping the local organization there really get to grips with dealing with the deforestation?
At Earthworm Foundation, we're always data hungry. We always want to know what's happening on the ground at the highest resolution at the closest point in time. What Starling has helped us to do in Cavalli, working alongside Sorifor and other partners on the ground, is to know factually where the change is happening. And this has really helped with supporting Sorifor with taking action in a much more targeted way, rather than sending lots of boots on the ground and trying to constantly chase where all the deforestation is happening, documenting this, and then putting that back into a mapping software to see, okay, what is happening. Instead, we're getting these alerts that tell us, okay, there's a concentration of alerts happening in this part of the reserve. This is where we need to send the resources. This is where we need to send patrols. I think that's just really helped us increase the level of impact that we can have and has proved, as we've looked over time, reduce significantly the rates of deforestation happening within the Kavali Forest Reserve.
What it doesn't do is replace the need for boots on the ground, but it makes the use of resources far more efficient.
That's right. And I think that's the same in Côte d'Ivoire with Sodefor. The same has been true very much in palm in Indonesia, Malaysia, or anywhere else in the palm supply chain. It has very much been about how can we direct resources in a much more targeted way to have a better impact. If I reflect on the journey we've come through as Earthworm Foundation, working with businesses to try and address deforestation since Nestle committed to no deforestation in 2010, when you're data hungry or you've only got a quality of data that's not going to drive that targeted action, then we were not necessarily taking the action in the right places. And I think what we've now done with Starling is enhancing that level of action and increasing our ability to have a better impact on reducing deforestation rates.
What have been the key achievements of the collaboration in Côte d'Ivoire, Patrick?
So first achievement has been to update the knowledge around Kavali Forest in 2018. Unfortunately, with a higher degradation level than expected, as 42% of the original forest cover had already been lost, while official figures were more around 25%. In a much more positive perspective, because of this work, thanks to this work, field teams have been, I'm talking about SODEFOR field teams, they have been deployed in a much more effective manner. Positive impacts have been created and measured. And we can say, raise the point that we can measure 83% reduction of deforestation when comparing Q2 2018 to Q2 2019. So we are really proud of this impact that is measurable and that hopefully will continue. We have really still all to push for development of monitoring services of those forest classes.
Rob, for you then, what are the achievements of the collaboration in Côte d'Ivoire that you'd like to point to?
The main one that I would be pointing to is that the better quality of data coming in has enabled more targeting of action on the ground. That has led to decreasing effort in terms of sending teams everywhere to sending teams only to one area to have a better impact. So getting a much better return on the investment that SODEFOR are making to ensure that there's no further encroachment into the forest reserve, I think would be the key outcome of having better quality data in their fingertips.
Patrick, we've talked about palm oil and cocoa already. What other commodity supply chains are you targeting with this and in what countries and regions?
So yeah, cocoa and palm oil, even if we have we want to keep working on those commodities as we see, a range of use cases that can completely leverage Starling. The third commodity we have completed is pulp and paper. Pulp paper is interesting because it spreads over all the latitudes. So it's not only tropical forests, it's also a boreal forest, tempered forest, where the issue can be deforestation, but there's also forest conversion. We see in many different tempered countries, like in Russia, like in the US, the concern of companies is forest conversion. Natural forest being harvested for delivering the fiber to the companies and then replaced by intensively managed plantations. It's one of the concerns they have, and they see Starling as a relevant tool to better control and better manage their supply chain as well. That's the third commodity we are contemplating. Worth indicating as well that more and more we see Starling being used by people not directly linked to a specific commodity or not completely linked to a specific industry, but more trying to find solutions over certain regions, the landscape, or can be countrywide, where the focus is forest management. Whatever is a commodity or whatever is the factor driving deforestation or forest climate change. And Starling is really helpful for them. And we have seen what we can call landscape project also, a strong potential of Starling to be used as a land use planning tool. What is the situation, how the commodities can affect separately or together, the way the forest resources are being managed, giving the good indicators for all the stakeholders, public and private actors, to work together and to find solutions.
Rob, similar question to you then. What do you see the limits to the potential of Starling and similar tools?
There's a lot of opportunities to extend it to all kinds of commodities. The approach we've taken at Starling is to really be focused on getting our technology right, getting our analytics right. I think that's a key point to really highlight is that, yeah, we can create data, but what do you do with that data? What does that mean in terms of me as a company taking action? I think we've put a lot of emphasis on getting that right. We're not taking actions in the wrong places, that we are taking actions on the right levels of deforestation with the right partner in the supply chain. I think extending Starling into a range of other commodities like soya in Brazil or in South America, it does present some challenges on our side. These are much different forest conditions. If we think about the Cerrado and mapping out where the Cerrado is, what Cerrado is important, not important, it sets a whole lot of new challenges, but also a huge range of opportunities. But to date, we've really focused our energies around palm, cocoa, and pulp and paper. It's not to say that we wouldn't consider moving into these other commodities as demand requires, but today we've focused on these ones.
Well, that's good to hear. There's still lots more potential progress using the technology. Certainly, it would be very interesting to see it moved into soy in South America. Perhaps next time we speak, we can talk all about that. For now, Patrick from Airbus and Rob from Earthworm Foundation, thank you both very much.